and good evening. I'm Melissa Idris. Welcome to Consider This. This is the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. The National Water Services Commission, better known as SPAN, has announced that as of February 1st, there will be an average 22 cent per cubic meter increase in water tariffs for areas under its jurisdiction, which is Peninsular Malaysia and Labuan. What's the reason for the water tariff increase, and what does it mean for consumers, for the water services industry, for businesses, and for long-term water security nationally? Joining me on the show today is Charles Santiago. He is chairperson of SPAN and former member of parliament for Klang. Charles, welcome to the show. It's good of you to join me. Let's jump right in to this average 22 cent per cubic meter increase in water tariffs. What was the necessity for the adjustment in tariffs?
Let me just begin by thanking you for this kind invitation. I think it is, first to answer the question, it's been long overdue.
Okay. It's long overdue. When was the last time it was increased?
It depends on the state. For example, in the case of Pahang, it was 42 years ago.
42 years?
Yes, 42 years ago. I think in the case of Penang, it was 31 years ago. In case of Terengganu, it was 22 years ago. So essentially, there has been no increase in tariffs for most of the states for a very, very long period of time. But at the same time, you have increase in costs when it comes to pipes, on-time chemicals, maintenance, wages, and so on and so forth. So if you look at it, most of the state operators are sometimes actually insolvent. And they're not making profits at all, though. And the purpose of this tariff is actually not to give them more profits, but actually to ensure that they are actually they come up to speed, because there are lots of work that needs to be done, which is pending and cannot be undertaken because there are no finances. So, for example, Kedah needs to build a water treatment plant. Pahang needs to build water treatment plant in Gebeng, for example, but they have no money. So this is one of the ways in order to make sure that they are financially viable and they have the funds in order to make plans. So what do we do? How do we ensure that, though? How do we ensure that? So what are the things that we are requiring all the operators is, one, they have to give us a list of all the projects that they're going to be doing from the increase in tariffs, from the income of the increase in tariffs. So Selangor has got income for Selangor, revenue for Selangor as a result of the increase in tariff will be about 105 million ringgit. So we have asked Selangor, just like all the other states, what are you going to be doing this money though? So you need to report to us what are the projects, who's going to do the project, how long the project will be undertaken, and all the other questions surrounding the project. And that particular information will be uploaded not only on SPAN's website, but also on the website of IS Selangor or SADA or PIPE, or whichever the case may be.
So to keep the water operator accountable what they're doing with
transparent,
the increase
and
in
also
tariffs.
To get people to also overlook and pantaukan, I mean, to oversee what's happening in the project. Though. So people's involvement becomes quite direct now. Before, it was all done a bit opaque. But now we think that all of this should be made public. Okay. So there'll be more public participation in the affairs of the local operator.
What has been the response so far? I mean, you've only announced it recently, but have people come and say, this is outrageous, how dare you make water more expensive? Or is this been accepted as a long time coming?
I think there's a variety of issues that have been raised. There's a very important group that says, well, this is part of the increase in cost of living and it will also lead to other increase in other costs as well, though. But I want to say quickly that this increase does not involve commercial. It only involves domestic.
Right.
So that means houses.
Because commercial had already a water tariff hike last
2 years ago.
Or 2 years ago.
Two years ago. So therefore, this is only for homes. Mm. So therefore, I don't see it spiking the cost of living. Of course, there will be a cost. There will be a cost because you know every time you spend an extra dollar, it's a cost to you, and especially now when the wages are tight, wages are low, all of that is understood though. But I would like to motivate a different way of you look at this water tariff increase. Mm. This is an investment for the future, and something we have no choice about. one investment in trying to upgrade the poor quality of service, as well as to increase the equipment, upgrading of equipment, upgrading of treatment plants and so on at one level. So to create operational efficiency together with financial efficiency of operators. But there's also another important element, which is to face climate change.
Okay. All right. I want to talk about all of those things that you brought up. But before we do, can I just delve deeper into the tariff setting mechanism? I'm just curious, is this a new approach that SPAN is supporting or proposing, implementing, I should use the word? What was the previous mechanism? How were water tariffs set previously, and how did you decide to use the TSM approach?
The tariff setting mechanism is something that is part of the Water Services Industries Act.
Okay.
So we are mandated to use the water the TSM, and the key part of TSM is public engagement. Besides looking at the business plan itself. Every operator has a business plan, okay, and that business plan is agreed with SPAN. So SPAN oversees the way you spend the money, the kind of expenditure you put for A, B or C, and the level of priority that you give in the way you run your operation. And one of the problems that we always have with the with ensuring that the business plan is efficiently implemented is the issue of no funds at the level of the operator. So the operator will tell you, hey, look, we have no funds. You're asking for A, we can't even do basic stuff. How are we going to do your demands? No? So I think these are issues that we have been looking at. Mm. And in the recent conversation that we had with stakeholders, in particular professional groups, with water-based NGOs, academics and so on, we had a series of discussions around the country. I think there is a consensus. One, yes, a tariff increase will hurt people, no doubts about that, and that's something we accept. Number two, it also says, okay, if you increase tariffs, you please ensure services are also improved.
Mm.
So there is a quid pro quo. Mm. Yes, we are willing to fork out the money, provided it's not very high.
Right.
But at the same time, you please make sure that, you know...
Okay. So how will this revision of water tariffs lead to better water services?
Well, that's the challenge that we have now. That's the challenge we have now. And this is going to be, going back to the business plan. And as I said earlier, the issues of the expenditure as a result of increase in revenue will be transparent. There is no more hiding what you're doing and so on. A lot of this information will go up on the websites. Statements will come out from SPAN saying, this is what company A is doing, operator B is doing, and so on and so forth, to keep people posted on on the affairs of the water.
Though. Mm.
Now, I think water, people need to be empowered to take responsibility for water.
What do you mean by that?
Because today, we have the average consumption per person here in Malaysia is 230 liters per day.
Is that a lot?
That's a lot.
On a global average, is
Because what we need is about 130 liters per day for human requirement by WHO. In Singapore's consumption per person is 160,
okay,
but we are doing 230 on average in Malaysia, and places like Penang is 300 liters per day though, because water is very cheap there.
Are you saying that the cheaper water is, the more we use it?
Well, we are more conscious about electricity because it's very expensive, so we want to cut down electricity, but not on water though, because we see water as more cheaper.
Mm.
But I think, you know, water is a fundamental human right.
Yeah.
So you don't want to also increase the cost of water as well.
Mm.
But at the same time, people should take ownership of water. People should say, hey, this is water is going to dry up very soon. And chances are it will in the next couple of years.
Mm.
So we need to use it in a very responsible fashion.
Conserve. I want to talk about that, about the challenges of the future. Now, you've been quoted as saying that the aging infrastructure of dams is a real issue. One third of the dams, the 55 dams in Malaysia, in Peninsular Malaysia currently, are more than 50 years old. Dams are the assets of water operators, or how does that work?
Dams, depending on some of them are owned by TNB, Some of them are owned by the state, some of them are owned by UPS.
So what is SPAN's role in this, and how do you ensure that aging infrastructure doesn't lead to water insecurity, water disruptions?
So that's the purpose of the increase in tariff, though.
Okay.
Essentially to increase services in the overall level, but also to ensure that the aging infrastructure is upgraded. So for example, the problem that we have in Penang as we speak right now is because the pipe was first put there 50 years ago. It's an underground pipe, 50 years ago. So of course, you know, just like all of us, when you age, you begin to have problems, right? So the same with the pipes. So everywhere you actually do a clip on the pipe, it's cracking naturally. So therefore, in order to avoid this as a permanent situation, as a perennial problem facing operators, we really need to ensure that we have top-notch, high-quality product services as well as pipes in order to provide efficient service for people. Mm. But let me also assure you, this is not going to happen in 2 months. It's not going to happen in 3 months, because the increase in tariff will kick off in February.
Mm.
But by the time the first collection comes, and then by the time they plan, this is going to take some time. Mm. But we at SPAN have told the operators that it's time to buck up. Your excuse about no water, no money before is understandable, but no more issues anymore, though.
Okay.
And we will now begin to discipline the industry.
Okay. So what does that look like in SPAN's perspective?
Well, one, we can withdraw the permit.
Of water operators.
Yes.
To the consequence of the consumer.
No, we will find a replacement. Okay. It's not going to be left.
Yeah, okay.
You get a replacement.
Yes.
And number two, we also can tell the state governments and the hiring authorities that we want this person removed, though, because of irresponsibility, because of corruption, because of incompetence, or whatever the case may be.
When you say back up, do you mean as in performance when it comes to ensuring constant, consistent water supply, no disruptions? Is that what you mean by back up?
Yes. So you plan properly, though. So your planning is efficiently planned done.
Mm.
Always the excuse for the last so many years is, we have no funds.
Right.
So, okay, so you're caught. But now, hey, you have the funds.
Okay.
Selangor has 105 million now, new funds coming to it. Some states have 40 million, some states have 30 million, and so on and so forth. So therefore...
Is it an equal playing field? Are there some states that are worse off than others?
Yeah, well, Selangor is the biggest state.
Okay.
So the requirements are a bit higher here. Whereas there are smaller states like Penang, Perlis. They are very small.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't they don't get 105 million, they get less.
Right.
But they also get a sizable amount. And you only have four water treatment plants in Perlis. So therefore, they should be able to manage it efficiently.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't say anymore you have no water, or you have no money.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you have money now. So how are you going to prioritize and build on on the money that you have?
So this 22 cent per cubic meter, an average increase, that is that across the board?
Across the board.
Or different states have different tariffs?
It's across the board for per cubic meter, but every state will have different tariffs.
So Penang is almost double?
I guess so. Yes. I don't know the details of
it.
But yes, Penang will have double, because Penang had the lowest at 22 cents.
To raise it to make it equal. Understood. All right, so talk to me more about the need to ensure that the aging infrastructure is addressed, because we also have non-revenue water,
exactly,
which is also a symptom or a consequence of aging infrastructure.
Precisely. Mm. As I said earlier, some of the pipes that we have underground and under the seas is about 30 years, 40 years and 50 years. And it's only natural that they begin to leak. And non-revenue water is just not about leaking pipes or gushing. You know, sometimes that business construction work. You know, when they were doing construction,
we see that.
That's
almost
one.
Like a geyser.
But the more complicated one is when you don't see the leak, though.
Oh.
That's very serious. The one that you can see, you can address. But there are ones that you cannot see, which actually is a bigger problem. And then you also have stealing of water, pilfering of water. That too happens. So you really need a system in place in order to control it, though. In order to control it. So, for example, Perlis non-revenue water is 60%.
60%?
Yeah. I think Kedah is about 55%.
Average is 13.
Yeah, average in the country.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm looking at individual
states.
So they're much higher. So therefore, we really need to close that stuff. Yeah, and I can also tell you that whatever money that they're getting from the tariff hike will not be enough. Mm. But at least there's an attempt now that money is available for you to upgrade. And this is where I think we have to look at water from a national security perspective, though. Mm. National security perspective. And this has got to do with national planning, though. I think, for example, the carrying capacity of water in rivers.
What is carrying capacity?
The volume of water in the rivers
okay.
is beginning to drop. Like in Sungai Muda, for example, the one that gives water to Kedah, Perlis, and also Penang, has seen a drop of 7%, according to PBA publication.
Because of climate change?
Climate change.
Okay.
So I'm sure other big rivers also will have the similar problem. So when you have a problem like that, you need to start thinking in the next 10, for the next 10 years. You can't wait for a crisis to happen before you do something. Mm. You have to prepare for the crisis. So I think we in Malaysia have to start preparing for a crisis.
Okay.
And that is why we have to look at water management as a climate emergency.
Okay. I think it is crucial that we see water security as a national security issue. But how do we anticipate? So I'm thinking in terms of climate change. Malaysia, you know, a country that is vulnerable to climate impact, both through drought and also mm-hmm. through flooding. So how does SPAN, as regulator of water operators, ensure that we are ready for either scenario, all the risks that the climate crisis presents
sure.
us?
I think the quick answer to that very difficult question is actually you need to have all of government and all of society approach to solving this problem, involving a variety of agencies. So, for example, the responsibility of SPAN starts from the intake point of in the river. That's where we start. But the river comes under GPS.
Oh, because your source is from the river.
Yeah. But of course, you can say, you know, since the source is your river, then you have a right to it.
Mm.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, on paper, yes.
yes.
But when it comes to the law and the way the government works, rivers come under GPS.
Yes.
And then at the state level, it comes under LUAS and so on and so forth. And then they have the Badan Kawal Selia and so on and so forth. So there are lots of layers involved. So therefore, I think it is time we have to look at a bigger picture, and plan that we how to manage a crisis that is possibly coming to us.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, when we have floods, so we need to open up storage spaces across the country to park the water so that when there is a crisis, you can use that water.
Okay, so could you help explain to me? This is almost, in my perspective, an oxymoron. When we have floods, you have an abundance of water, but sometimes the taps are dry. So what happens to our water storage, to our water services, when there is too much rain?
Okay, let me backtrack a bit though. A good 90% of our water comes from rivers.
Okay.
So the bulk of it comes from rivers though. It does not come from the rain that you see in front of your house though. It's from the rivers.
Okay.
And it is supported by dams. Sometimes the volume of river, the volume of water in the river is a bit slow.
Okay.
So you have to open up the dams to support it. So that, you know, you get into the... this is important to understand because we think water is like electricity where you switch on and
yes,
switch off. Though.
Yes, we're so used to turning on the tap
exactly.
and then, you know, water comes out.
Yeah, it works so differently. So here, you have a situation whereby you have multi-agencies, multi-processes involved
mm.
before you get the water. And I think basically when you start looking water as a national security issue, I've been the last couple of weeks and months, I've been saying, hey, let's look at water as a national security issue, though,
mm-hmm.
and ask the government to invest something like 10 billion ringgit for the next 3 years. 10 billion, 10 billion, 30 billion to upgrade the entire country, though. Entire country, and make the necessary changes like have retention ponds in different parts of the country, including moving into reclaimed water, and come up with a policy that in the next 3 years or 5 years,
mm.
that production facilities, manufacturing, construction, can only use reclaimed water.
Oh.
So therefore, your potable drinking water is only for you
reserved
to drink.
Reserved for drinking.
Only for drinking, mm. and factories don't use that. So they will actually get reclaimed water, and they should get reclaimed water. And they should do recycling, among the, especially when you consume lots of water. And you should look at rainwater harvesting as well. That's why this approach, rainwater harvesting is something that you can do at home. Yeah. That the factories can do in their workspaces.
Many people already do.
But we need to improve that, though. And we need to cut down on the volume of water we are using at home and washing cars, though. We can't be with washing cars three times a week or four times a week, though. When you go to US, you don't do that, though. When you go to Australia, they'll fine you for that, though. If you wash three cars,
I'm sure a lot of people watching right now will feel quite attacked, Charles. I feel quite. I feel, you know, like. Yes, I feel like you're talking about me.
But no, but that's reality, you know.
That's because true. It's our mindset, right?
Exactly.
When it comes to water. Yeah. Has your push for the government to see water security as a national security issue, has that been well received?
Well, it's a work in progress.
Okay.
Let's see. And this is the start of the process.
Okay. All right.
So
what are the biggest challenges for SPAN? When you think about all the threats that could come your way in the future with climate change, with unpreparedness for that?
I think fundamentally, I think for us, the water operators need to be efficient, mm-hmm. both in terms of operation and also in terms of revenue collection.
Mm-hmm.
For the most part, revenue collection is not very high. Sometimes it's only 50% or 60%. Like, for example, in the case of Pahang, the big income comes from Gebeng as well as Kuantan. And they use the income from Gebeng and Kuantan in order to subsidize the rest of the other areas. Though.
Okay.
They have 72 treatment plants in Pahang, and of the 32 treatment plants, 38 are in FELDA schemes. And therefore, there's a cross-subsidy that happens. So therefore, the company, the state operator, water operator, cannot survive. And just for information, talking about some of the challenges that operators face, in the case of Pipe, which is in Pahang, Pengurusan Air Pahang, they owe TNB 1 billion ringgit.
Right. So, you know, I do wonder whether there is a lack of sympathy for water operators, state water operators, because sometimes when you think about, you know, they're insolvent, they're not making profit. As consumers, we think, well, this is a public good. You know, it's not, they're not meant to, they're providing public service. They're not meant to be generating a profit. Is that the right way to view this?
I think we have to have this belief that water is a fundamental human right. And water should be, providing water to the people is the responsibility of government. Mm. But at the same time, people too cannot take that for granted and abuse the water that they are given. So there's a need to be responsible though. Sometimes water is also, you have to make a decision. How do you conserve that water? And we need to begin to start this conversation in this country about conservation as part of our culture.
Yeah.
This is really important because in the next 3 years, you might not have water. That's the challenge that we are looking at because of the uncertainty of climate change.
Mm-hmm.
And El Nino has still got a way of ensuring that you might not have rain for 3 or 4 months in a row, continuously. That will be a challenge. Rivers are also under attack. And the way we pollute the river
yes.
is unthinkable. You know, we have pharmaceutical pollution, we have chemical pollution, we have computer disk that is being, you know, churned, turned into a dust and thrown into the river. It's crazy. So therefore, we really have to start thinking water as a national security issue.
Right.
And we need to believe that the water belongs to us. We need to be empowered so that we can conserve and protect that water for the next 30, 40, 50 years though. But at the same time, while we change our mindset, the need to change our mindset, we also need to upgrade the infrastructure so that we do not have 60% NRW in one state, 30% in another state, 50% in another state. That too has to be handled though. So as a way to prepare for a crisis, you really need to pump the money and do it now.
Okay.
So government has always given priority to energy though.
Mm.
Now the focus has to go to water. So government priorities has to change.
Okay.
And this is where people come. People should start.
So people should start pressuring and be accountable or give be vigilant as to how water is viewed and treated in this country. Can I ask you, as a water consumer myself, how long should I give water operators time to buck up so that I no longer see water disruptions or dry taps going forward?
I think you should see some changes within a year, but level of efficiency should increase by a year and a half or 2 years now.
Thank you, Charles, for being on the show. I appreciate your time.
Thank you very much, Tom. Thanks for having me.
That's all we have for you on this episode of Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris, signing off for the evening. Thank you so much for watching. Good night.